Imagine you are a startup CTO on Friday afternoon, and OpenAI announces GPT-5-6 Sol, Terra, and Luna. The model family is the obvious headline, but the first practical question is stranger. Are you even allowed into the preview, and who gets to make that call?
That is a product question wearing a policy jacket. If the API exists but the access path runs through a government-requested preview, the integration plan changes before anyone benchmarks a single request.
OpenAI's own posts introduce the GPT-5-6 family. TechCrunch reports that the initial rollout is limited to trusted partners at the request of the U.S. government, and says OpenAI argued that kind of restriction shouldn't become the norm. Representative Lori Trahan criticized the Trump administration's role from the other side of the debate. So today's question isn't only what Sol can do. It is who gets to find out first and under what process.
And that process now has engineering consequences. If I am choosing a model for an agent platform, I don't just ask about context length, tool use, latency, and price. I have to ask whether my customer category is approved, whether my use case gets delayed, and whether a competitor with a different relationship to the gatekeeper gets earlier access.
There is also the safety claim inside the story. Micah Carroll's post focuses on Sol's agentic coding capabilities and misaligned behavior concerns. Micah Carroll's post doesn't give us the underlying eval, so I don't want to pretend we have more than that. But the pairing matters. The model is presented as more capable in coding agent work, and the release path is being slowed through political and safety pressure.
Operators can't hand-wave that. A stronger coding agent isn't just a smarter autocomplete. It can edit files, call tools, follow traces, and it may pursue a goal in ways the user didn't intend. If the release note says capability and the rollout says control, the missing document is the test plan.
Right, and OpenAI's own discomfort with the precedent matters. When OpenAI says, in effect, that this restriction shouldn't become normal, it is admitting that access can become a product surface. A preview can turn into a licensing queue. A licensing queue can turn into a political filter. A political filter can become the market.
Tongue click, the operator version is less theatrical than the politics. If access is conditional, teams need fallback models, portability tests, and a procurement answer before they build around Sol. That means abstraction layers stop being developer taste and start being business continuity.
The Anthropic story arrived late in the window, and it is the mirror image. TechMeme and Reuters point to reports that the U.S. is allowing Anthropic to release Mythos to selected companies, government agencies, or trusted partners, while Fable talks continue. So with OpenAI, government involvement constrains a new preview. With Anthropic, government involvement by those reports eases a block for certain institutions.
That symmetry is uncomfortable because both directions use the same missing noun, trusted. Trusted by whom, for what use, with what audit path, and with what appeal if you are outside the first circle.
Exactly. The evidence level matters here. The sources don't include a primary Anthropic statement. Reuters is reporting that Semaphore reported the release to trusted partners. That is enough to discuss the reported policy pattern, not enough to describe Anthropic's final internal rationale as fact.
For builders, the practical difference between blocked and allowed is massive, even when the public facts are thin. If Mythos is available to more than 100 institutions, those institutions start learning how it behaves before everyone else does. They build harnesses, pricing assumptions, eval suites, and internal confidence. Later access isn't neutral access.
And the public conversation tends to compress that into fairness. Fairness matters, but access timing also changes knowledge distribution. Early users discover what breaks, where the model is weirdly strong, and which workflows survive contact with reality. A 6-week preview can create a 6-month operating lead.
I would separate two questions here. One is whether a government should slow or sort frontier release. That is a political question. Customers also need a predictable contract around that sorting. That second question is concrete. Can I plan a roadmap around this model, or am I renting a rumor?
A rumor with an invoice is a nasty object. Chuckle, but yes. The access mechanism is now part of the system architecture. The model card can be excellent and still not answer the enterprise question. Who can use this, when, and under what conditions can that answer change? CNBC's Zhipu story pulls the argument outward. It presents China's GLM 5.2 and other open model competitors as pressing closer, while U.S. labs face government-mediated access friction. The stronger claim isn't that one Chinese model has passed every U.S. frontier system. The stronger claim is simpler. If the best U.S. systems are harder to get, a good enough available model becomes more attractive.
That is how defaults change in practice. Nobody needs an open model to win every benchmark. For the job in front of the team, availability and reliability can beat a higher benchmark score.
Nathan Lambert's post in the sources is part of that pressure. The policy desire to control frontier systems can push people toward alternatives outside the intended control path. Mario Zechner's counterpoint, as represented here, reads as frustration with the U.S.-China tech dynamic. And the Hacker News discussion around the double word S keeps the capability gap in view.
The gap matters. An open weight model that is weaker at long horizon planning may still be the better engineering choice for a bounded agent inside your own infrastructure. You can inspect it, tune around it, keep data local, and avoid waiting for a preview invite. That isn't ideology, it is a deployment trade.
Recent coverage can repeat itself too easily here. We have already talked this week about chip access and Chinese substitution signals. Today's fresh mechanism isn't generic rivalry. It is access friction creating a purchasing and deployment window. Availability becomes capability when the alternative is a model you can't get.
I would put that on a whiteboard for any team evaluating agents right now: capability, availability, inspectability, and governance. A top-scoring model can lose when availability is conditional and inspectability is zero.
That also changes how we read open-source rhetoric. Some of that rhetoric is principled. Market positioning is in there too, and so is national strategy. But for a builder, the test is whether the model can be put into a product with fewer unknown permissions. That is practical freedom, not just openness as a slogan. The infrastructure segment sits closer to the balance sheet, but it explains why the access fight feels so charged. CNBC says Oracle had its worst week since 2001 as investors focused on debt and AI spending. TechMeme points to AWS raising NVIDIA capacity blocks, pricing by 20%, while leaving Trainium unchanged. Another TechMeme item has SpaceX getting FTC approval to acquire mesh for data center optical interconnects.
Those three items are the finance department version of the same story. Oracle is balance sheet pressure. Oz pricing is scarcity reaching the customer. Mesh is a bet that interconnect becomes a control point, not a commodity detail.
We shouldn't make Oracle carry the whole AI CapEx story by itself. The sources here don't support that. But put Oracle's week next to cloud GPU price changes and an interconnect acquisition. AI demand is being priced through plain business instruments, debt, instance pricing, and M&A.
And Oz leaving Trainium unchanged while NVIDIA capacity blocks rise is a pointed signal. If you are Oz, you want customers to understand that your own silicon isn't just a technical alternative. It is a pricing lever.
That is a good operator read. It also ties back to the model access story without making it the same story. When frontier models are scarce through policy and compute is scarce economically, the buyer starts optimizing for fewer dependencies. It may mean a domestic custom chip. It may mean Trainium. It may mean an open model that runs acceptably on hardware you can actually reserve.
Procurement starts to look like architecture here. Your model choice, cloud choice, data policy, and budget policy all touch. If one vendor raises GPU capacity prices, your agent unit economics change. If one government delays access, your roadmap changes. If one interconnect supplier becomes strategically important, your data center plan changes.
And because Construct covered Jalapeno deeply on Wednesday, I don't want to rerun the chip sovereignty episode. Sam Altman's Jalapeno tease and the Apple to OpenAI device hiring are relevant today as a reminder. OpenAI is trying to own more of the stack beneath and around the model. But the fresh signal today is that everyone else is also trying to reduce dependency in whatever layer they can reach. The builder counterweight today is that teams are still putting agents into real systems while the frontier access fight plays out. Oz published a Stripe case study on production-grade AI agents for financial compliance. Versal announced a Harness API that supports agent frameworks like OpenCode and LangChain. AI Engineer has a same-day talk on prompt layering and veto patterns.
This is my favorite part of the day because it is less dramatic and more runnable. Stripe's compliance agent story matters because financial compliance isn't a toy domain. You need identity and review. You need logs, escalation, and deterministic rules that can stop the agent before it creates institutional damage.
The AWS post excerpt here doesn't give us enough detail to audit Stripe's architecture line by line, so we should stay at the pattern level. The pattern is still useful. A production agent now includes prompts and tools, but it also needs permissions, review steps, and veto layers. The agent isn't the whole product.
And Versal's Harness API is interesting because runtime abstraction is moving up the stack. If teams are choosing between OpenCode, LangChain, model providers, and custom tools, they need a way to keep the app from becoming a pile of one-off integrations. The access stories we just discussed make that even more urgent.
There is a nice tension there. The more policy conditional the frontier models become, the more engineering teams want portability. But the more serious the agent workload becomes, the more they need provider-specific controls, evals, and monitoring. Portability and depth pull against each other.
Yes, a shallow abstraction lets you swap providers but hides the features that make the agent safer. A deep integration gives you better controls but can trap you inside one vendor's access policy. That is the architecture problem for the next wave of agent products.
And the Forbes governance piece in the sources is a useful background warning. Once an agent acts like an employee, companies need offboarding, accountability, and review. I would phrase that less as a metaphor and more as a checklist. Who owns the credential? Who reviews the action? Who shuts it down? And who explains the log?
That is the checklist I would trust. I trust it because it names the pieces that fail during an incident. A production agent without credential ownership and log review isn't autonomous. It is unattended.
So the day gives us a concrete picture. OpenAI's GPT-5.6 preview turns access into a first-order product condition. Anthropic's reported Mythos easing shows the same state involvement operating in the other direction. Jipu and other open model competitors benefit when availability becomes a feature. Oracle, AWS, and SpaceX show compute pressure moving through finance and infrastructure deals. And Stripe, Versal, and AI Engineer remind us that ordinary teams are still trying to build agents that survive production.
The practical conclusion is that model selection is no longer a table with benchmark, price, and latency columns. Add access stability, provider portability, auditability, and compute reservation. Those aren't procurement footnotes anymore.
And we should keep the uncertainty visible. We don't yet have primary documents for every government decision. The available sources don't include the avals behind every SOL safety claim. We don't know how broad Mythos access becomes. The available evidence points one way. Frontier AI is being distributed through institutions, not just endpoints.
Which means the best engineering teams will treat access as a dependency. They will test fallbacks, write down who can approve a model change, and measure how much of the product survives if the preferred model is delayed or repriced.
That is where I would leave Friday's story. The new frontier product is partly the model and partly the process that decides who is allowed to touch it first. If that process stays opaque, builders will design around it.